All right, everyone. Today is Sunday, January 25th, 2009. It's a week before the Super Bowl. It's our first podcast of the new year, and we have got some super stuff for you in this edition of the Apple II Podcast. Aloha and welcome to A2 Unplugged, the Apple II Podcast, brought to you by A2Central.com, your total source for Apple II computing. Visit them on the web at www.A2Central.com, by JuiceGS, the world's premier Apple II print publication. Visit them over at www.juiced.gs, by Uncommon Sense, hopefully simple personal finance. You can check them out at uncommon-sense.net, and by listeners like you. Thanks for your donations. We couldn't do A2 Unplugged without you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to A2 Unplugged, the Apple II Podcast. This is your host, Ryan Suinaga, and we are coming to you live from beautiful Kaneohe, Hawaii. You can reach us by email at a2unplugged@gmail.com. You can visit our website over at www.a2unplugged.com, or you can reach us on our voicemail hotline at 808-218-2737. I would like to welcome you to our annual year-ending, year-beginning show. This year, our guests in our roundtable that looks both back and forward for the Apple II are Andy Molloy of JuiceGS Magazine, Ken Gagne of JuiceGS Magazine, Sean Fahey of A2Central.com, Tony Diaz of 16sector.com, Apple2.info, and Apple2.org, and Eric Shepard of Syndicom. So without further ado, take it away. We will listen to what our group has to say about the present and future of the Apple II. I'd like to welcome everyone to our now annual A2 Unplugged Year in Review, Year Preview, this for the year ending 2008 and beginning 2009. I'd like to thank all of our guests who are currently online, and one we are expecting any minute now. And we'll start with some introductions. We have Andy Molloy from Syracuse and JuiceGS Magazine. Andy, how are you?
Hi, Ryan. Not bad. It's we're buried under snow up here and freezing to death.
Okay. I'm glad you're indoors. Little bit near Andy, we have Ken Gagne, the editor-in-chief and publisher of JuiceGS Magazine. Ken, how are you?
Hi, Ryan. I'm doing fine. It's not quite as snowy here, so I think we're doing okay.
Okay. That's good to hear. From Kansas, we have Sean Fahey, the owner and operator of A2Central.com. Sean, how are you?
Doing great, Ryan. Okay. Thanks for having us.
Hey, no, thank you for being on. And from 16sector.com, Apple2.info, Apple2.org, well-known Apple II hardware guru and historian, Tony Diaz in Oceanside, California. Tony, how are you?
Hi, Ryan, and everybody else. And just another year has gone by, and another year is coming towards us, and I'm happy to be here. And just like to remind everybody to, when you need some hardware for your Apple II, keep focused.
Okay. And we are hoping to be joined by Eric Shepard of Syndicom, also known as Sheppy, any time now. We'll see how that goes. I know he was unexpectedly caught out, but let's hope he walks in the door any second now. So let's get started. We have some topics that we'd like to discuss, and we'll go ahead and start with our annual gathering that actually all five of us were at this past year, and hopefully all five of us will be at in 2009. That would be Kansas Fest. So I would like to start by asking your folks for just a few thoughts on the event, starting with Andy.
Well, I think we had another great year. We had a pretty good turnout. People came from far away Hawaii, Ryan. I don't know if we had anybody from Europe this year, but I know we had people like Andrew Rowan from Australia who were following along on the web. I think we had a good selection of presentations. We had a nice keynote from a person who's written a lot of Apple II software back in the days. And I just thought it was good energy and another fine job from Tony getting the place organized and set up for us all.
And Ken, you're up next. What are your thoughts, Ken?
Yeah, I had a great time at KFest. I'm really pleased that we've been able to continue this trend of having celebrities from the Apple II community come. In the past, we've drawn from people who were already going to be at KFest anyway, and it's nice to have some outside perspective, and it's great that we're going to be doing this again this year. As some people have noted, we did have quite a few sessions at the past KFest that weren't necessarily specifically about the Apple II. They're a bit tangential with the Mac and the iPhone. And I think it's pretty cool that we're able to expand our focus that way, but I hope that we can keep our sight on the Apple II in 09.
There's that word focus again, but we're not ready for you yet, Tony. Sean, your thoughts on Kansas Fest 2008?
Well, I had a blast along with everyone else, and I was really happy to see quite a bit of new hardware released.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
The good news from 2008 was we still have developers out there.
And let's keep that thought going in a little while, because we will be talking about development, both software and hardware, in a little while. Tony, you are the big cheese or whatever similar name for the leader of the committee now. Tony, what do you have to say about Kansas Fest 2008?
2008. I still can't figure out exactly how many there are, because there's always been this disagreement on how many there's been. But having been to every one of them, 2008 was probably one of the higher notes. I suspect we had a little, fewer people there, but kind of, it was a bit more fun than, I don't know. It's hard to say, but. As far as the planning goes, one of the things I was always concerned about when I was handed or was the sucker to stand up and say I'll do it was, can I plan it and still attend? Mm-hmm. And that means, do I have to worry about everything going on? And for the most part, it works out. I'm able to attend, although sometimes I have to attend KFest business and kind of get left. The bus kind of leaves without me. Should we say, but no, it's been working, and I can't do it without the rest of the committee either. So I got, it's everybody's hand involved here.
Yeah, and I guess full disclosure, because everyone here except me right now is actually part of that committee. And looking forward to Kansas Fest 2009, I think we said maybe Ken, you could tell us a bit about the keynote speaker for this coming Kansas Fest.
Sure, we have Jason Scott from Waltham, Massachusetts. He is perhaps best known to this community as the creator, director, producer, etc. of BBS the Documentary, which was shown briefly at KFest 07. That is a 3-DVD, 8-hour documentary about the history of dial-up bulletin boards, which are pretty rare nowadays in the era of the internet. He's working on a new documentary about text adventures called Get Lamp. And he is also making quite a splash in the social networking community with his Twitter account, which is not actually his. It belongs to his cat, Sir Sockington. And his cat currently has over 5,000 followers. So Jason Scott is quite the expert at the history of computers and information technology and exchange, as well as current social networking trends and humor. I saw him present at MIT last year at RaffleCon. And he did a great job, and he's a very colorful person, and I think he'll be a pleasure to see at KFest 09.
Okay, great. Anyone else have any thoughts about this coming Kansas Fest?
I do.
Go ahead.
Vince Briel, who creates the Replica One, which is a clone of the Apple One that you can put together yourself, he was at the Vintage Computer Festival East in New Jersey this past September, which Andy Malloy attended, and Andy attended his workshop. Andy, do you want to talk a bit about that?
Yeah, I attended with about 12 other people that came just to do kit building, and I'm a very beginner solderer. I don't really know too much about it, and I went in there, and he was great. He helped me build the kit. I learned how to do a lot of the beginning techniques, and I ended up with this working little computer that we hooked up to a monitor and were able to get the Apple prompt on the screen. And it was just a really neat thing. And Vince said that he'd always been interested in Kansas Fest and heard about it going on. So he expressed a possible interest in coming, especially if he could do a workshop.
Okay. I think maybe with those discussions, why don't we jump to hardware? And one of the things I think Sean had mentioned was that there was a lot of new hardware that was shown over at Kansas Fest. Actually, one of my views on it is that I think it's great that we have new hardware, although a lot of these are more like revived hardware, I think, more like clones of previous projects or previously available hardware that have come back, which is, of course, quite useful. And I also wanted to say that there seems to be more development of hardware now than there is of software. But let's all have a shot at this one, and we'll go ahead and start again with Andy.
Well, I was excited to see all of James Littlejohn's work. James, I think he's only been at maybe two or three Kansas Fests, so, and he's come on really strong and brought a number of products. And I think the thing I liked best was that these were all products that he was starting off on a low level, but once he got them under his belt, he says he has bigger things in the works. So I'm kind of excited to see how he's going to develop. I picked up the Little Power adapter, which lets me take the power supply out of my Apple IIe and use a small plug-in wall power supply. So I've got that up running here. And the other guys can probably comment on some of the other products. I think, Sean, you got a number of them.
Okay. Ken, you're up. What do you think about all the hardware we're seeing?
Well, I haven't really paid too much attention to hardware in the past because for the last 10 years or so, ever since I started college, my Apple II use has been via emulation. But last month, the first time in more than a decade, I have a physical Apple II machine sitting on my desk, and now I'm kind of wondering what it is that I missed by not paying more attention to the hardware. So I need to start making some purchases and start doing some investments and taking a look at all the different options that are out there for storage input. I mean, not only the Focus card, but the Compact Flash card, the MicroDrive Turbo card. There's a lot of great hardware out there, and it's so great that we don't have to go scrounging through the Salvation Army to get this stuff. It's brand new, it's available, and it's a great way to get your Apple II up and running again.
Okay. Sean, you are known as somewhat of a hardware collector. What do you have to say about this?
Well, as far as James's stuff, you know, it's all well thought out, well designed. He goes through several revisions just to tweak down the, make sure that his device is going to work the best it can. I like that he takes some of the old ideas, some of the old hardware, and tries to put a new spin on it. And I'm really now getting really interested in checking out this field programmable array stuff that's coming out from like Apple Logic. I want to find out where they're going to be going with their add-ons and their Apple IIs in a gate array. So I think some interesting things are going to come out in 2009.
Okay, and Tony, you are well known as a hardware person. What do you have to say?
I don't have any new stuff, although there's the proverbial cat in the bag trick that always comes out of me. But I've been egged along for a number of years by some of the folks here to make some of my products of the past available again, and I have, and the sales haven't been stellar, but, you know, again, this is 2008, 2009. All of a sudden now we've probably got more hardware available now than in the last 4 or 5 years. So, you know, we'll see how long this goes and whatnot. But I'm hopefully working on a couple other things here that will probably turn some people on end and go, wow, you got that again? Cool. Anyway, I'm hearing all kinds of noise in the background here, too, so I don't know if...
Hello.
Are we adding in? Yeah.
Yeah, and on that note, let's take a little bit of a turn here and add in Eric Shepherd from Syndicom. Sheffy, how are you?
Hello. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. So, Sheffy, you're here with Andy Molloy from JuiceJS, Ken Gagne from JuiceJS, Sean Fahey from A2Central.com, Tony Diaz from 16 Sector, Apple2.info, Apple2.org, and myself. So thanks for coming on. I know it's a little late, and I hear you're on a business trip tomorrow.
Yeah, I head out tomorrow afternoon.
Okay, so let's get back to hardware a little bit. And one of the things I really wanted to talk about was the $2,553 2C that went on eBay earlier this year. And this was a new in box, old stock, if you're going to use the eBay type phrasing, rare Apple 2C that went for $2,553. This was covered in, I don't know if the mainstream media, but certainly a lot of Macintosh podcasts and things like that. And I thought maybe we'd start with Andy. What are your thoughts about this one?
Well, I thought it was an insane price. I still can't believe the guy paid that much for it. But I enjoyed reading, you know, the stories about it, and I like that it gave the Apple II some more, brought it back in the limelight again in some of the mainstream tech news sources. So, but yeah, I was pretty blown away by somebody paying that much.
Okay. Ken?
Well, I'm the one who interviewed Dan Budiak for JuiceJS and for Computer World back in February, and he seemed like a rather rational person despite this purchase. I think, you know, when you take a look at how much a brand new Apple IIc went for when it first shipped from Apple, and then you adjust for inflation, he didn't pay anything more than manufacturer suggested retail price. The fact that he paid it in 2008 is what's questionable. But if you're a collector, then $2,600 really isn't all that much. I mean, if you take a look at how many video games or DVDs a standard geek might have, it probably equals far more than that. So, given how little space he has in his New York apartment, I think it makes more sense to spend a lot of money on one little thing than on a lot of things.
Sean?
Well, he kind of blew the curve out, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there was a time when the Apple II hobby was really cheap, relatively inexpensive, easy to get into, and now that retro computing is kind of catching on with a lot more people, you know, the prices have ticked up on a number of different items. You know, I'm not going to criticize the guy for spending that much money. I feel happy that he had the money to blow on an Apple IIc like that. Obviously, he's doing well. And I hope he gets a lot of enjoyment out of that Apple IIc, because I've made similar insane purchases for that personal satisfaction that I got out of getting that item.
Okay. Tony?
Well, yeah, I guess... You know, I don't want to be the one. I don't want to criticize either, but at the same time, I was practically blown off the planet for seeing how much he spent on that, and then he opened it.
Yeah,
I would have if I was gonna. You know, I think I've bought similar items like this. Yeah, we'll buy one and we'll get another one to open it. You can get another one for $5. Mm-hmm. Mess around with that one. Leave the one in the box. In the box. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, somebody could have sold him a box of bricks with really good glue on it, and he'd never know either. So at some point, I guess you got to open it and make sure that's what you got. It's just amazing. $2,500 for a system, and I guess I haven't done as much research on the list price and whatnot as mentioned, but I think that, you know, stuff gets cheaper as we move on. inflation-wise. I'm backwards on that. Anyway, that's what I'm saying. The machine was about $1,199 or something, I think, list price. You know, $25, but the monitor was whatever it is, and I think he got an external drive with it. So, yeah, you know, that's an interesting point, too, also. He's got about $3,000 to spend on retro computing, so you spend it all in one place, just like Daddy used to say, don't spend all your money in one place.
Okay. Sheppy, what do you think?
I'm kind of in between on this. I think I could sort of get the purchase. Opening it blows my mind, though, because he took a $2,500 investment and turned it into a $50 resale on eBay by opening the box. Mm-hmm. And that really blew my mind that he opened it. Now, more power to him. I mean, that's what he wanted to do. And as we found in the interview Ken did with him for Juiced, he was very happy to do it. And that's great, to each his own and all that. But that's the part that really blew my mind, that was that he turned around and opened the box when he got it.
And I guess maybe for a little bit of perspective, I think an Apple One, which would never be new in box, you know, the way that they were sold, we've seen prices that are four times what he paid. So, you know.
But they're also vastly rarer machines.
That is true. That is indeed true. And actually, for all we know, there may be a bunch of other 2Cs new in box somewhere in the garage of somebody who used to own a small computer store somewhere. That's certainly a possibility.
Well, can I add something?
Sure.
There are a lot of still new in box machines out there. Just to put this into a perspective, I have acquired a number of new Apple IIc Pluses, maybe more or less desirable, I'm not sure, but you know, I was picking them up on eBay or other sources for less than $80, $50 a piece. And that was up in, you know, a year or 6 months before this $2,500 auction. Brand new in the box, 2Es. You know, I have a number of them in my garage, you know, a couple of GSs. Mm-hmm. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that they are out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some people are hoarding them. Some people have them and don't realize they have them. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these 2C pluses were given away when people opened up special accounts at banks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're usually these elderly people. They said, well, what am I going to do with this computer? They put it in the garage. Then, you know, unfortunately, they pass away, and then suddenly their heirs or their whoever finds this 2C plus and they sell it on eBay. Now they're going for $400-$500. It's really amazing.
Yeah, I agree. So why don't we get off the hardware tack a little bit and talk about software development in 2008. It didn't look like there was nearly as much software development as there was hardware development. And I think that that's a trend that's been going on the last couple of years. And given that there are people in here who do a little bit of both, maybe we can lend some insight to that. We'll go ahead and start with Andy. What do you think about the trend in development for software?
Well, one kind of a interesting angle I thought is that a couple of these old Apple II games have kind of reappeared on the iPhone this year. Mm-hmm. There's only been a couple so far, Lemonade Stand and Crystal Quest, but they both came with classic modes where you could get the Apple II or Apple IIgs graphics or relatively close to that. So although that's not new or anything, I did think that was an interesting new way to get some of the Apple II software out there again. And looking at the comments on those apps, a lot of people seem to have brought back memories. And, you know, you never know. Maybe that'll translate into them coming back into the Apple II community or at least seeing if they can go farther than the iPhone.
Interesting. And before we move on to Ken, let's just take a moment to pimp Kelvin Sherlock's iShizen, his port of G-Shizen to the iPhone. Ken, what do you think about this trend?
Well, speaking of Kelvin, he's quite the prolific and versatile gentleman. Not only has he written these games, but I would like to announce his new product that he's been working on. The Apple IIgs can read a variety of different formatted disks due to the file system translation extensions that you can plug in. It's not so easy to do that with modern computers, but there is a project on Google Code called MacFuse, which is looking to do the same thing on the Macintosh, allow you to extend the Macintosh to read different operating system, or rather disk systems. And Kelvin has written an extension for MacFuse that allows you to read ProDOS disks on the Mac.
Oh.
It is called ProFuse. It is open source. You can download it now. Its URL is code.google.com/p/ProFuse. And I've tried it out. It works with disk images, and you can mount them right on the Finder desktop. It is currently read-only, so you cannot write files to these disk images, but you can drag them from the disk image onto any other Mac volume that you have. You can open them in your text editor or your word processor. It works great. I've given it a couple of different tries. You have to be familiar with using the terminal, the command line, but it's really simple. He's also working on porting it to Linux, and he's having some success with that. But it's progressed quite a bit in just the 3 weeks that he and I have been playing with it, and he's still working on it. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what it becomes.
Oh, that's great, Ken.
He's totally my hero.
Yeah. You have anything?
I was planning to do a project like this, but never had time. So this saves me a lot of work.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, you have anything else to add on this topic, Ken, besides your blockbusting announcement?
Well, it's currently a beta, so you're never quite sure what you're going to get. Your mileage may vary, but given that it's read only, I think it's a pretty safe bet that you're welcome to play with it. And I'm just really surprised and impressed that Kelvin did this, because I thought he was a game designer, and here he is writing a file system translator. He's also written an entire article about the development of ProFuse, which will be in the next issue of Juice GS.
Okay.
Can I have a turn here real quick?
Sure.
Yeah, something else that Kelvin had done, has been working on and off, and he's actually talked about this before, but he's actually developed a Java-based assembler for the GS that runs in Java, so that you can develop GS code in assembly language on any Java-compatible platform. And he's also got a linker he's been working on for linking that into executable program files for the GS, OMF linkers, an OMF linker, which is also very cool, and that's also in Java. And both of those are also on Google Code, yes. Open-source projects. So this is by far not his first non-game project, but it's possibly his most exciting one, because this is something that's going to be really handy. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, great. Okay, Sean, you have some things to say on the state of software development?
No, I'm afraid I don't. I don't really have a lot of information on that field right now.
Okay. Tony?
I don't have much to say on development per se. However, I can mention a little long parallel here. You know, there's been a lot of activity in the last several months and in the last few years, but it's kind of also along with Tuna Hardware kind of picked up activity here as far as reclassifying prior titles that were no longer available or have been available through other non-discrete ways. But one of the things that I've finally got tired of waiting for the return of was the Lost Classics Project archive online, and I have decided, mostly unilaterally at this point, to just bring it back. And by the time this podcast is out, the archive should be available at lostclassics.apple2.org. My goal with it is to bring back not only all the titles that the Lost Classics Project proper had under its wing, but just to kind of make it a central point, an A2 central point, if you will. a central point of Apple II software availability. If we can't host it, we will at least have a link to it, where it's at, and categorize it all by publisher and whatnot. And then along the same lines as the keynote speaker for KFest, being a being known for the BBS documentary, one of the big scores for the Lost Classics Project this time around is the release of ProTerm 3.1 for the Apple II, which is apparently big news. I'm so sick of looking at PDFs and PageMaker and whatnot that I think I've seen past it anymore, because that was sure a kick, a butt-kicking solution to try to get that manual to work. But the $89.95 original price of ProTerm way back when alone, the manual was worth it alone. Just the chapter and the appendices on just setting up the modems, worth it alone. And I wanted to have the entire thing packaged ready with the manual. And, of course, that meant converting it from 1998 PageMaker to something more modern. And I succeeded. And the fruits of labor will bear in a few more days here.
Great. And I would like to say that, you know, ProTerm has always been a real standard of great software. Both the Mac version, you know, the classic Macintosh version, and the Apple II version. Sheffy, you have anything more to add?
I've been really intrigued by the strange balance of power, so to speak, between hardware and software lately. There's been so relatively little news on the software front, and so much interesting news on the hardware front the past year. And this has been a trend that's kind of developing the last couple of years as kind of the hardware hacker types kind of come to the fore. On the software front, obviously the ProTerm release is a huge deal, just because it's been it has always historically been really the best of the telecom programs available for the Apple II. So having it available as freeware is a huge deal. Beyond that, some of the interesting things going on with making it easier to work with Apple II content on so-called modern systems, between emulation, which obviously has been going on for some time, but also things like ProFuse, which we just heard about, and that sort of thing is obviously a big deal. Just because in this day and age, you've got a few people who are still using Apple IIs as their primary computer, but for the most part, they're now kind of the domain of the hobbyists, the people who want an open machine to hack away at, or who do it just because, you know, it's a fun retro kind of thing, whatever. But in either case, these are people who need the ability to easily get their content, you know, back and forth, whether it's between a real Apple II and an emulator and a modern computer, or between the emulated Apple II environment and their you know, primary machine, whatever. So, and there's been a lot of movement on that front. I'm really hoping to see even more happen there over the next year or two. There's certainly been a lot of interesting developments in that direction. So, I hope to see that continue.
And I am intrigued as you are, as a guy who does a little bit of software development, partially because, to me, the cost of doing hardware, I would think, would be substantially more than the cost of trying to develop software. I mean, in the case of software, it seems mostly to be in terms of time, in terms of labor at this point. Once you've got your software development tools, you kind of got your software development tools. In terms of hardware, I think, you know, you are, you know, actually building physical things, and if you need to build something else, you need to get more parts and all of that. So that's why I am a bit surprised, pleasantly, however, that
you know, I actually have kind of I've kind of come to a sort of an analysis of this situation. I think I've kind of figured out what's happened here. We're at a point now where if not every piece of software that you could possibly want for the Apple II already existing. I mean, that's obviously not true. There are things, but I think everything that is reasonably doable, especially in a hobbyist environment, which is where we are now, has been done. There are very few things left that you could write that are needed, that would have enough interest that it's worth the time and energy to write software-wise. There's not a lot of that left, but there are a lot of things left to be done hardware-wise that are either remakes of past products that you just can't find anymore, or things which modern technology, modern hardware capabilities have made into feasible projects for the Apple II that were not feasible previously. And so I think that is why we've seen this kind of odd divergence away from software into hardware development, is because of that. And I think that's great. I think there's some very cool things we're going to be able to see happening in hardware over the next couple of years. And I'm really looking forward to some of them, because there are things that we need. alternatives to our old analog GS monitor, our old analog GS monitors, because they're getting hard to come by in usable condition now. I'm down to one that works out of all the ones I've ever owned, and being able to plug in a straight up Apple II monitor or a straight up VGA monitor and is something that I need to see happen, and hopefully that will be something I'll be able to do soon. So although I don't know of any specific projects that are GS compatible along those lines, I am aware of some. For there's obviously the Apple II VGA that's in process, and I hope to see that come to the GS eventually too. So but that's just one example of the types of things that I think we're going to see happen the next couple of years.
Okay. Anyone have anything to add on this hardware and software kind of dichotomy? Yeah. If not, why don't we go ahead and move on to the state of emulation? And we have seen some of our old faithfuls continue to be developed, such as Virtual 2 and Sweet 16, and we're fortunate enough to have the author of Sweet 16 here as well. But we've also seen some new emulators for systems like the Nintendo Wii and the Nintendo DS, which make me wonder if maybe folks are interested in the emulated Apple II platform for classic gaming. But let's go ahead and see what people have to say on this subject, and we'll start with Andy again.
Well, I wish I had more experience with the Nintendo emulators. I don't have either of those, but I was encouraged to see that, like you mentioned, Virtual 2 and Apple Win, they had updates during 2008. So that means the developers are still around and still incorporating changes. I also was more disappointed that Kegs doesn't seem to have had as much work done in the last year, although there was word about that Dropbox add-on for OS X, where you could it helped to be able to drop disk images onto Kegs and have them run a little easier. So I guess I'm glad a lot of the big projects are still going, and I hope they keep around. And the interoperability of those emulators with the operating systems they run on, I think, is something that is continuing to get smoother.
Okay. Ken, your feelings on emulation?
I haven't tried the Nintendo Wii emulator, but I'm really excited to see it fully developed to incorporate all the features of a full Apple II, because the Nintendo Wii and its Wiimote control system is very similar to a point-and-click that you use with a mouse on a computer. The Xbox 360, the PlayStation 3, they're just not like that at all, so they're really not compatible. With Andy's help, I recently installed an emulator on my Wii to play old LucasArts games, and I'm now playing Day of the Tentacle, which is the sequel to Maniac Mansion, which is an Apple II game. And that the Wii is just a great system to be playing that game on, and I wasn't able to get that to work on my Mac. I'm actually now playing a Mac game on my Wii because it wouldn't run on my Mac.
Wait, so you're emulating a Mac on your Wii is what you're telling me.
This emulator is called the Scum VM, and it's specifically for LucasArts games.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, and which is what Day of the Tentacle is, and I would love to be able to play my Apple II games on the Wii as well.
I see. Okay. Okay, Sean, thoughts on emulation?
I think it's great. It's not my cup of tea. I really prefer the real thing.
Okay. Tony?
Every time I hear the emulation, I think of the K-Fest commercial for A2 Central that we all...
the emulation.
I haven't paid all that much attention to emulation on the newer end of things. I just am still amazed at how much hardware out there can chalk up to, yes, I have an Apple II emulator that runs on me. And I think one of the most fun emulation projects I had was to kind of stretch the truth a little bit and say, yes, you can buy a new Apple II GS in 2003 or 4, whatever it was, at Walmart by buying an Xbox and a little bit of mod chip later, putting another hard drive in it and running Kegs on the Xbox, or as it was called, Kegs X, and booting up a And not only that, using a USB to ADB to USB adapter and plugging in Apple ADB 2GS keyboards to the front of the Xbox. And then I even got the Xbox a skin printed for it that made it look like a 2GS as far as the color and the striping and everything else, so I could say, look, it's a new 2GS that runs 700 megahertz at the core, but it still only ran 20 megahertz, so it seems like we're not going to get past the 20 megahertz barrier anytime soon with hardware. So, okay. Otherwise, that's about it for me on that.
Okay. Sheffy, the author of Sweet 16 for OS X, you probably have more insight on the development of emulation, if nothing else, than the rest of us. So what are your thoughts?
I think I'm watching the development of emulation, obviously, fairly carefully. I'm very, very enthusiastic about it, just as a way to help the hobbyist, but also the kind of casual retro enthusiast, I call them, people who want to be able to play these classic games, that kind of thing. I think it's the best way for that type of person. The average retro enthusiast gets the most out of emulation, I think, over anybody else. And I have enjoyed working on Sweet 16. Obviously, I'm continuing to do so, although development is going slower than a lot of people would probably prefer, just because my life has become very busy the last few years, as I've got a family and all of that now. But progress is ongoing, so that's good. I have to say that the Virtual 2 emulator is probably the most impressive emulator I've ever seen for any platform. It is brilliantly done. It's very usable. It implements every feature I could possibly imagine having in an Apple II emulator, other than the fact that it's just an 8-bit Apple II emulator, but it does it extraordinarily well. It's just a beautiful piece of software. I just love it. Sweet 16, obviously, is a GS emulator, and it's also still in development. Both are constantly getting, well, Virtual 2 actually gets updated more often than Sweet 16 does, but they're both in active development. But they take different approaches. The Virtual 2 emulator is designed to very accurately simulate an Apple II environment. I mean, it has support for printing, it has support for floppies and hard disks and all of that. Sweet 16 has some of that stuff as well. I mean, support for floppies and hard disks and all of that. Its printing support is attached in a very different. In a very different way, whereas Virtual 2 actually emulates a printer on the Apple II, and Sweet 16 takes kind of a different approach to that. But just the fact that people keep porting these emulators to different platforms, like the Wii, like all these other game systems, it's really gratifying to me to see that, because it's a way to keep introducing a new generation, so to speak, of computer users and game players in particular to kind of the classics, and I think that's fantastic.
Okay, and my view on emulation is as someone who does a bit of development, and particularly develops a lot of TCP/IP applications, the new Sweet 16 has been a tremendous help because I am now able to do testing in my virtual environment rather than what I did before, which was move the binary out of my emulator, get it onto actual hardware, test it there, go back, which was very time consuming. So I would like to say it would speed up my development, although in reality, who knows if that actually will happen. So actually, thank you for that, Sheppy. That was a very big deal. I also am wondering, like I alluded to a little earlier, if a lot of the interest in emulation may be from people who are interested in classic video gaming. Because there certainly are, there's a whole contingent of people who are interested in retro gaming as well. Okay, so we've covered most of our topics. Does anyone have any that they'd really like to bring up and talk about a bit, or anything that we're missing here that is of interest?
Okay. Well, I have one.
Okay. Andy?
It may not be coming out in 2009, but at the end of 2008, Alex Lee in his What is the Apple IIgs site, he announced that he was working on a project to make like an Apple IIgs coffee table book. And he said that he's collected a lot of images over the years as he's been doing his website, which is in my opinion, very professionally designed, laid out. So if we may see that book towards the end of the year, which I think would be a interesting development.
Okay, great. Did someone else have something? Okay.
Oh, I do.
Oh, Ken, go ahead.
Well, I've done a little bit of blogging about the Apple II for computerworld.com, which is my day job. And they let me do an image gallery for Kansas Fest 2008, which I'd only previously blogged about in 07. And they're hoping to have me do something else in 2009. They say that the next logical step in the evolution of Kansas Fest coverage is video. I don't know if that's going to happen. It could be a little bit scary if it does. But in the meantime, I mentioned earlier in this podcast that I now have a physical Apple II accessible to me for the first time in over a decade, and that the only place I could find room to set that up is actually in my cubicle at Computer World. It coincidentally happened the same time that the Macintosh that they assigned to me broke, so I told everybody that this was my replacement computer. It's all we could afford in this economy. But the video editor was walking by my cube and saw this, and he thought it was great, and we sat down together, and we played a round of battle chess, and he wanted to shoot a video about this system. So we shot that video earlier this month, and it's going to be up on Computer World sometime in the next month. And I'm not really sure what the context will be, but he says it's going to be the longest video that computerworld.com has ever hosted.
Oh, that's interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. And actually, you know, to expand on your possibility about video coverage for Kansas Fest 2009, honestly, if you had a few geeks who had flips with them, or, you know, one of these other really small but very high quality and pretty inexpensive low cost camcorders, you would be surprised, I think, just how much interesting video that they can come up with.
Yeah.
I would really say that. Okay, on to our picks. I had asked if people could come up with just some kind of either hardware or software or website or documentation kind of pick, maybe to give people. It didn't have to be anything new. And I will go ahead and start and give you folks a little while to look through your own archives or your own thoughts or your own Google searches to see if you can come up with something that you think is great. I would like to say that my Apple II pick for this show is actually ProTerm 3.1. I think that if you are someone who has any interest in telecommunication at all on the Apple II, that is probably the best program overall that there really ever has been. If you are someone who is interested in a great example of 8-bit programming, period, looking at ProTerm is going to be real useful. And if you use it on an emulator where you don't really have support for serial, you can still use the editor, which is actually a really neat editor. You know, one of the best ones I've ever seen. So that would be my pick, and because it's freeware now, I think it's much more accessible to other people. So that's my pick.
And just remember, talk may be cheap, but ProTerm is not free.
Okay. Why don't we go around and Andy, do you have a pick for us?
Yeah, my pick would be the new version 4 of the virtualapple.org website. It's a way to play Apple II games right in your web browser. So you don't have to have the emulator set up. You download the plugin right through the website. So it's a great way to get a quick gaming fix. And I don't know if you guys know, is it Bill Martens who does a lot of work on that site? But I'm impressed that he's got such a large encyclopedia of games up there.
Okay. Thank you, Andy. Ken, do you have a pick for our audience?
Well, I hate to toot my own horn, but I'm really excited that Juice GS is entering its 14th year of publication as the only Apple II publication still in print. I have been talking with a lot of different writers, some of whom are regulars to the staff and some of whom are making one-shot contributions. Looks like we're going to have some really neat content. It's going to be a little bit challenging for me because I started grad school this past fall and I've doubled my course load for this new semester. But I think the staff and I, especially Andy as associate editor, will be able to put together some good issues. We've been having some discussion internally in the staff about the future of JuiceGS and specifically what format it should take, what its nature should be. As we are the last remaining publication still in print, maybe we should go online, we don't know. Well, so we definitely have some opinions on the staff, but I'm more interested in hearing what the readers have to say. This was the topic of my editorial in the last issue in response to a reader. And as a response to that editorial, I've gotten one reader to write in about what his preference is. And I'd definitely like to hear from more about how they would like JuiceGS to be delivered.
Okay. That's a blatant plug as well as a pick. But I will say that JuiceGS is always a great pick as far as I'm concerned. Sean, do you have a pick for our audience?
Yeah, it's a pick and a kind of a correction from what I said earlier. I'm really big on AppleLogic.org, not .com. They have a board that's coming out soon called the PBA-01, and it's the interface for the field programmable gate array. And, you know, properly programmed, this card could conceivably emulate just about any card ever made for the Apple II or something entirely new. It could be that VGA interface for the GS that Sheppy would like. It could be compact flash, any number of things. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what these guys are going to put out.
Okay. And let's see who's next in line. That would be Tony. Tony, do you have a pick for our audience?
Well, I don't want to get... It's kind of hard for me to pick and be non-biased.
Oh, don't worry about that. Just go ahead and make a pick.
Yeah, I already blew that.
That's true. Well, after a about 6 or 7 year absence from the Apple II scene, the Focus card has returned. The original single card storage solution for the Apple II that, for all of its simplicity in design and the price it still sells for, kicks the pants off of DMA, SCSI, RAMFast, cache, all that other fun stuff. And well, I think that's my pick. But
okay. And you can,
plug, that's my pick.
No, the plug would be you can get it at...
Yeah, and you can get that at 16sector.com. Like, and like to remind you, keep in focus.
Okay, yeah, that's the plug.
It's serious, and keep in focus. There you go.
Okay, and Sheppy, do you have a pick for our audience?
You know, I kept having to adjust my picks throughout the course of this because everybody named the pick I picked. I think that there are so many things that are great about the Apple II, just in terms of what you can still do and the amount of fun we can still have with them, that it's hard to pick, you know, something to kind of specifically mention. I think that just the people associated with our community, especially the folks who hang out in the A2 Central chat room, are a great resource for information. I think that the last few years we've seen the CompSys Apple II news group turn around and back into a really good place to discuss the Apple II. And I think that really the thing that I would give as my pick for the year and really any year is just this Apple II community. It's just full of really great people. Some of my best friends are people I met through the Apple II community. Ryan, you know, participated in my wedding, for example. I think that just it's an honor and a privilege to know a lot of these folks. And I've made friends through the Apple II community that are going to last for the rest of my life, I'm sure. And I think that right there would be my pick.
Okay. I think that's a great pick. Okay, so last thoughts, plugs.
Can I make one more plug?
Sure. Well, you can. You're going to have another chance at a plug, but go ahead if this is the right time.
Well, it's software that I want to recommend. Sure. That would be ADT Pro by David Schmidt, which is Apple Disk Transfer Pro. Having just set up a physical Apple II, it's something that I had to install, and it runs on any Mac, PC, or Linux, and allows you to convert disk images on the Mac into an actual disk on your Apple II, or to make backups of your Apple II files as a disk image on your Mac. Having just booted up my Apple II for the first time in 11 years, I had no idea what software was on there, how to get software onto there, and also how to make backups of all this old data. I had some trouble getting the program to work. I emailed him, and he wrote back, and we went back and forth probably about a couple dozen times looking at different error logs, trying different drivers, and he was very patient and a great help, and it was a great program. It finally got to work, and now I have backups to all this stuff. So, thanks.
Okay, great. Okay, so now we will have our parting shots. Anything you'd like to plug? We will start again with Andy Molloy.
My parting shot would be, if you've never come to Kansas Fest, make this the year. You can find out more at kfest.org. It's a great one-week kind of mini vacation, hang up, stay up all night in the dorms, working on programs and visiting with friends and doing stuff with the Apple II. So if you haven't come in the past, make this your year.
Okay, that's great. Ken Gagne, what's your parting shot, plug, whatever you'd like to do?
I want to plug WordPress because we're all using it and we all love it.
Okay.
WordPress is the blogging software that powers a lot of our sites. A2Central.com underwent an awesome WordPress upgrade last summer thanks to Tony Diaz. KansasFest.org was converted to WordPress this past November. I'm hoping to convert Juice.js, the website, to WordPress someday or some year. But in the meantime, this software is just making it really easy to get information out and to connect people.
Okay, great. Sean Fahey.
Well, the good news is some bad news that I really couldn't talk about all the cool things that I'm privy to that I've sworn to secrecy on. But it's the one thing I can say is development is alive and well on the Apple II, and we have a great outlook for 2009.
Okay, that's great. Tony Diaz.
Once again, get serious. And I'll add to the WordPress thing. 16sector.com, Apple2.info are both running on WordPress. And it's been a miraculous lifesaver as far as organizing information, putting it together. In fact, there was a little while there where a number of us were working with WordPress, and we all thought, well, maybe we need to rename the chat room to WordPress Central. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That forum plugin for WordPress is impressive.
It sure is, yeah. It really is. It's very well, nicely rounded, and nice little set of forum features. Almost as feature laden as PHBB and a couple of others.
Yeah, I agree. Sheppy, you're Eric Shepard, your plug, your parting shot for our audience here.
I just want to say that it's always exciting and fun to have this conversation at the beginning of the year with you guys, because it's always interesting to get this kind of round of insights into what's going on. I have a special message specifically for Sean, which is, dude, share. Wait, no. I want you to. Because he keeps telling me, taunting me, because he's like got all this information about this awesome stuff that's coming that he's embargoed on and not allowed to talk about, and it's annoying in a cool anticipatory kind of way.
Okay.
So that's I think my parting shot.
Okay, and I would like to my parting shot and my plugs for this year. I would like to plug JuiceJS for Andy and Ken, the world's premier Apple II publication. 14 years. Little did Max Jones know in Indiana what he would be starting all that time ago.
Little did Joe Cohn know what he would be pushing off.
A2Central.com for Sean. And all of the great news that happens there. A2Central.com is certainly my first source of Apple II news. 16sector.com, Apple II.info, Apple II.org for Tony. And for Sheppy, bitstampede.com, which is still probably the first blog that I check every week. And I actually got tagged on Bitstampede, and I'm working on that, so I okay. don't forget about it. Okay.
All right.
So I'd like to, yeah, I'd like to thank all of you folks for taking time on a Saturday night. I hope I didn't keep you up too late. It's only 5 p.m. for me, but it's certainly a lot later for some of you. And I think I can speak for all of us. Okay.
Yeah.
I
somebody bumped the record player.
Yeah.
Made Ryan skip.
think I speak for all of us when I say that I'm thinking 2008 was a great year for the Apple II, but I'm hoping 2009 will be even better. And I hope that we can all have this chat again next year. Thank you all very much, and I will see you later.
Great. Thank you, Ryan.
Okay. Thank you, guys. That was great.
Apple II forever.
Okay. Apple II forever. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So that's it for this episode and our annual New Year's / Old Year's edition of A2 Unplugged. I would like to thank our guests this episode, Andy Molloy and Ken Gagne of JuiceGS Magazine, Sean Fahey of A2Central.com, Tony Diaz of 16sector.com, Apple II.info, Apple II.org, and Eric Sheppy Shepherd of Syndicom. Thanks a lot, guys. Your insight and brevity made this into what I think is the best A2 Unplugged ever. Ma'ala mapono, ahui ho. We will be back with a new episode sometime soon. Take care, everyone. Aloha and good night.